We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and in chapter 5, Paul has written a letter, and I think he captured the heart of God there. And in chapter 5, we see the love of God going out to man, and especially to these Corinthians, but we see the love of God going out to us. It's good for us to recognize God's love. Many of us are parents, and we read how God loved mankind so desperately that he offered up his only begotten Son as our propitiation for a right standing with himself. God reconciling sinful man to himself. And he did this through the sufferings of Jesus on the cross and all the shame that was there with it. And we are redeemed by Jesus. And we can find it difficult to comprehend how Jesus suffered so completely. And it was at the direction of God the Father that he suffered. For it pleased the Father to cause his Son to suffer for our sins. Hebrews 2:10 tells us, Jesus was made perfect through the suffering of the cross. Paul, he understood as an apostle that he also had to suffer. It was told him by Ananias when he prayed for Paul after his conversion. And Paul understood that he was held to suffering. He said, I fill up the sufferings of Christ. And with that, if the Apostle Paul saw a need for himself to suffer, why do we consider suffering a strange thing? For in suffering, we have growth, we have maturity, and it brings our Christian lives alive. And one of the doctrines or teachings that's going through the Christian church today is prosperity doctrine. And so we have this teaching within the body of Christ how to avoid suffering. But Paul said, I fill up the suffering. And God forbid that we should avoid any kind of trial or suffering that comes our way. If you've walked with Christ for any length of time, you will either suffer or you have suffered for your belief. It's just part of the territory. Have you ever thanked God for an illness? One that made you slow down, stop your rapid life, and just consider that the Lord's slowing me down just to recognize him? Many times, I ever get sick, I want to know, why, Lord, am I sick? You know, and maybe I need to be sick. But Paul testifies of his suffering, and he talks about his shipwrecks. He talks about being in the deep and how that was a great fear for him. But Paul not only persecuted the church in his former days, but he lived in a time of persecution. And today, you and I, we hear many philosophies of how man is basically good. And we're shy when sometimes we hear the Jesus haters who come forth with all their propaganda, with all their claims, and we realize that that's not what we're called to. So don't look upon your sufferings as a strange thing. Now, Paul, he will instruct us not to receive the grace of God in vain. Be a faithful believer. Be a faithful Christian. So let's read chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And then Paul will go through this list. In much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labor, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor, dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened, yet we are not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Quite a list. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. By your own love, you're limited. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part of a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Paul, in this second epistle to the Corinthians, he pours out his heart. He pours out the heart of the God the Father. And in verse 1, he says, do not receive the grace of God in vain. God, who has called us to himself, desires that we work together with him. Harmony among God's servants and people is the ideal body of Christ. We're not to be quarreling and disputing with one another. We're to be in harmony with one another. We're to be workers, not couch potatoes, but workers. For none of us have received that upward call of Christ as of yet. Today there is a great shortage of Christian workers. I don't care what church you go to or where you find yourself, Christian workers are needed. God never calls us to service. He doesn't call us to serve him without him serving alongside of us. But you know what scripture uses? It uses an analogy that being yoked together with Christ. To be yoked together means you have to learn from the dominant ox that is next to you. We learn from Christ as we walk with him. Have you ever seen a young child pushing a toy lawnmower behind dad as dad mows the yard? He thinks he's helping. It's kind of the same way with us. We think we're helping God sometimes. But we're given more than a little toy lawnmower. But you get the idea. We're to serve with him. And God brings us alongside of himself. So together we serve with him. And verse 2 explains verse 1. In an acceptable time I have heard you. And in the day of salvation I have helped you. Paul, he actually pleads with the Corinthians, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Have you ever considered salvation? I've thought about that. And I've thought about how many people are saved, and I've thought about how many people reject the salvation message. And salvation, I believe, is too great a gift to receive casually. I think that should always be in the forefront of our mind. And we read where we're being saved. It's an ongoing work of the sanctification in our lives. But to receive salvation, to grasp the gift of salvation, well, to be honest, it boggles my mind. I don't fully understand the love of God, how he reaches out to us, sinful man, while we are opposed to him to redeem us. To fully understand, God has chosen us as sinful beings, granting us eternal life. It's sort of amazing. Only a loving God could reach down to us and save us while we're opposed to him. An act of God by his Holy Spirit leading and prompting us to receive this love, to receive grace, to receive eternal salvation. When we consider, when we think about it, very few, I did not believe on Jesus the first time I heard grace being offered to me. I was raised in a church. I'd heard that sermon. I'd been invited to many altar calls to come forward for Christ. But I didn't do it the first or second time. It took many times for me to hear this message before it rang true. Paul, he labored. He worked at being of no offense in his action and his behavior to the Corinthians, a worldly church. If you can be a worldly church, the Christians were worldly. And Paul was sensitive to the opinions and concerns of the Corinthians because they listened to him. They heeded his words. And therefore, he was careful not to offend needlessly, not to offend in a reckless way. Now, I like to think, if you're offended by my sermons, just realize I'm the messenger boy. It's not me, it's God's word. If God's word offends you, well, I make no apologies for that. And I'm sure, being a pastor, I have offended you. Comes with the territory. Or I am offending you. And if none of those work, I will offend you. It's going to happen. But I'm more afraid of shying away from God's word than I am of being offensive. And I'm trying to work out the balance in my life. But Paul would not be found offending in a reckless way. I tell you what I am offended by. I'm offended by preachers who refuse to declare God's word as it is. In verse 4 through 10, Paul will now list his attributes in teaching. And listen to this list. He said, I am patient. Paul says, I'm a patient man. And he says, I suffer tribulations. I have physical needs. And I suffer distresses. I suffer beatings. I've been in prison. I was in riots for my beliefs. Labored to the point of sleeplessness. I was long-suffering. I was hungry. And Paul says he was in many fastings. I wonder if some of those fastings were literally hungers. Living an example of purity and kindness. Trying always to love. He wanted to be known for truth. He wanted to exhibit God's love when people reviled him. He was honorable when dishonored, those that were opposed to the gospel. He died to himself and his feelings. I'm quick to defend myself. Maybe I should die to myself. But he was always rejoicing. He was poor, but he made other believers rich. Paul had really no earthly possessions. And he says, having nothing yet, I possessed all things. Paul purposely lived a life of being an example. And he says, I'm able to say in all things, I commend myself to God. And we can read this laundry list and admit our many shortcomings. And you can't read through that list without seeing many of our shortcomings. But he made a point to mention, I'm patient. I'm enduring. Because I'm a disciple of Christ. Paul was familiar with the trials and tribulations of life. I can read this list of sufferings that he went through and realize I might be a whiner. Not necessarily before you, but before God in my prayer life. I can sometimes find myself complaining. But as I think about, as I ponder God's word, it sobers me up. I don't get my mood changes from TV or YouTube or anything. I get them from God's word. For God's word is truth, it's encouraging, it's chastising it sometimes, but it's truth. And we want truth to reign in our lives. And Paul will explain all of his patience and all of his endurings as being part of being an apostle. That was his lifestyle. And in verses 11 through 13, he explains how he has been open-hearted to the Corinthians. So he says to the Corinthians, you also be open to fellow believers, and to me. Paul is faithful to speak openly to all believers, not only the Corinthians, but for us today who read his letter, and Paul shares how they are not to be restricted by his words. But he says, be restricted by your own affections. Let God's love so reign in you that you will not be offensive. Be led and behave from a heart of love. Be open. Be vulnerable to others. I don't like being vulnerable. I like to defend myself. But he says, be vulnerable. Be open. Bear one another's burdens. Now, Paul, he gives some godly advice. And in our scripture reading this morning, let me just read through that again because it dovetails into what we're talking about. And where he writes in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And my goodness, do we not live in perilous times? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And he says, turn away from such people. And if we were to do that, we'd have to turn away from our whole society today. For we don't hear much good news that comes from the news media. But back to 2 Corinthians, verses 14 through 18, and he gives us advice to live by. He gives us how to be in a healthy relationship. And he talks about marriage. Don't be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. And this can apply to us in business also. If you have a business partner who's a non-believer, you're in for a rough go of it. But in verse 14, he says, do not be unequally tied or yoked to an unbeliever. Don't be so consumed with business that you have no moral fiber about you. Now, I'm an advocate to tell our young people, date in a group setting. Do it in a group setting. Get to know that person you're interested in all kind of circumstances. For what you may think will be an eventual mate, what they believe is extremely important. Who you hang around with has a great influence upon your activities and your behavior. One thing I always told my kids, stay vertical. They knew what I meant when I said stay vertical. That meant no hanging around, no lying on beanbag chairs. Stay upright. Don't get in that horizontal position. It's a bad position. And don't do things with your friends that are questionable. Keep it clean. And as we all have seen, and I have seen marriages that come apart from simply not agreeing upon right from wrong. That's simple. So in your time of getting to know another person, observe their ideas and what they are about having fun. What do they enjoy doing? Be courageous enough to see that handsome guy or that beautiful girl as they really are. And that same principle applies to being in business with a person that's lacking in moral fiber. In my business years, I had two Christian partners. Both of these were Christian men, but both of them had traits that I found to be dishonest. And both partnerships came apart. When I discovered one had a habit of lying when promoting our business, he would stretch the truth. Lie. The other had no responsibility of paying our rightfully consumed debts. We owed people, and it was our position to have to pay them back. And those partnerships came apart because they didn't believe the Christian way I believed. And you can spend more time in a partnership or a business position than you spend with your wife. So choose carefully, if you're in business, who your partners are. For it says, what does Christ in you, what does he have with unethical behavior? Nothing. What part should we have being tied to an unbeliever? We shouldn't be. Outside of salvation, who we associate with is the most critical criteria that we can have as we go through our life. Verse 17 tells us, come out from among them and be separate from them. And Paul says, this advice is not my own opinion, it's from the Lord. Then Paul will give us a promise from God. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. God himself, our Almighty God, promises to take us on as children if we will simply obey him. Not to speak of the heartaches that we avoid by being obedient to him. And that's it. That's chapter 6. So if I can get you to stand, we'll close in prayer. Father God, you tell us in this chapter very clearly, very plainly, don't be unequally yoked to unbelievers. Don't be tied into a lifestyle that is apart from you. And Lord, sometimes we can lose sight of that. And sometimes we can make mistakes. But Lord, you call us to yourself and you say, be separate, be holy, for I am holy. And we want to be pleasing to you with our conduct, Lord. So help us. And Lord, I don't know if I spoke to anyone here today about being in business with an unbeliever, but Lord, you take it and apply it to our lives. Let us be about you and your kingdom. And let us be a good witness as unto you in all our behavior, Lord. We desire to honor you. We desire to please you with our lives. So help us, Lord. It's a great chapter, restrictive, sure. But Lord, we want to abide with you. We want to be part of you and your kingdom. So Lord God, help us in our relationships with others, help us in our relationships with our wives and husbands, our children. Just be there with us, Lord. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, not to be offensive over minor issues, but to be in harmony with one another. And we ask you to help us to do this. And we pray and ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.